Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
So, here we are. Once again, week 975,000 of Captain's Log Pandemic Starfleet Pandemic Series. Praise God. And I say that tongue in cheek. But it's been long, right? But how many of you know God has been in this season with us? And today we come to a special, special time. And this is a time that the church celebrates and remembers the day that the world's history changed and never ever went back to how it was. It's Pentecost Sunday. So happy Pentecost. And I want to talk to you today, still in this historic pandemic series. And I want to talk to you today on the title of this message, The Pentecost Pandemic. The Pentecost Pandemic. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm going to read just four verses, then we're going to crack on. And when you're there, say amen. I can't hear you, but it's just good to say it. Amen. So it says this, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Holy Spirit, today, even though we're not gathered in one place physically, we can still be gathered as your people in one place, spiritually. Even though it's a virtual thing that we're doing right now, let it be a spiritual thing. You are not limited to our time and our space and our matter. So my God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be powerful in every home, in every house, in every heart of every person that is hearing this today. My God, we want to be filled. We want to make a difference. We want change to come. There's too many areas of darkness, too many areas of ingrained evil. There's too many things that cannot stay the same. And Lord God, we need you. So Jesus, We want to live in a way that gives you a reward for your sacrifice. Come now, Holy Spirit. Today's Pentecost Sunday, and it's the day that we remember all of these things that happened over 2,000 years ago. It was a history-making day. It came 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it was when his church was born. What you know of the church, it began that day. And today, in this day, in 2020, we're celebrating a pandemic Pentecost. And I believe that that is prophetic. I believe that God wants to do something at this time. Remember what pandemic means. It comes from two Greek words, pan, which means all, and demos, which means people. So it means all of the people, and it means everyone, everywhere. And it's a term that the disease experts, the epidemiologists, I mean, if you know, we learn these words, right? This is the word that they use when epidemics, which is a localized outbreak of a disease or an infection. And it's the term that they use when the epidemic starts spreading out. It starts going out. It starts moving out from its localized area, and it starts crossing borders, and it starts hitting other cultures, and it starts moving into other areas. And it all happens in multiple countries at the same time. This term epidemic is something that is limited, but pandemic is unlimited. It goes everywhere. On that first Pentecost, there were about 120 people that were gathered together. And you think to yourself, 120 people is not really a lot of people. But how many of you know God doesn't need a lot of people to start a movement? God doesn't need a lot of people to start something powerful. God doesn't use the masses. He uses often a remnant. He uses often people that are just locked in with him, that are not following the crowd, that are not running after fads and fashions, but are just locked into him and his truth and his life. And there were 120 obedient, faithful people that were gathered that day. I think if you are gathered right now watching this, if you have gathered in your home, you can get up, you can do whatever you like in your home. No one knows what you're doing. No one can see what you're doing. But if you have gathered because you are called by God and you believe in Jesus and you've taken the time to set yourself up and to watch church and to engage with church, then I say to you that you must be one of those remnant. And God can use your life. Understand that, embrace that, take that. God don't use the masses to reach the masses. He uses the remnant to reach the masses. And it was when they were all praying together, those small group of 120 people, when they were praying together in harmony. And here's the thing, you know, in some Bibles it says in unity, in harmony, in one place, in one accord, it says. You know, that's like our Victory Outreach worship team. We're only using a remnant of our worship team in these churches, church gatherings at home. But we have so many beautiful, amazing, talented singers and worshipers and musicians and songwriters. But you know what makes it so beautiful? It's not just the power. It's not just them being individual. What gives it power when they sing is the harmony. It's when they're all harmonizing. And they're all unique, they're all individual. But the thing is this, they're all singing the same song at the same time, in the same way, for the same purpose. That is harmony. And when we are praying together in harmony, you can be individual. It doesn't matter about what tribe you're from, what tongue you speak. It don't matter about your background or your color. It doesn't matter about where you were born or your age or your economic state. It doesn't matter. When we're in harmony in Christ, he doesn't see us as anything else but his children and his people. And they were doing that. They were there. They were praying in harmony. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and he came upon them all individually at the same time. The Bible says that there was a flame that came down and it was on every person. Every flame had a name attached to it. See, God wants to use you as your individual self. He wants to use you with your peculiarities. I mean, if you know, everyone's got peculiarities. My wife tells me all my peculiarities. I've got so many peculiarities now that I'm just more of a peculiar person than I am a normal person. But how many of you know, normality, you can forget it. I like being peculiar. God wants to use your uniqueness. And every flame had a name attached, and they were all filled. Watch this. They were all filled with the personal power of a multi-dimensional, creational, transformational God. Something happened, and it happened all of a sudden. That's how God works. That's how things happen. All of a sudden. Suddenly. Things have a way of taking you by surprise if you're not careful. That's why you have to be prepared and positioned right. Because when things happen, they generally happen suddenly. Can someone help me out? How many of you know you can be waiting and waiting for something? You can be waiting and waiting for a revival. I've been waiting for 25 years for a real move of God. I've had tastes of it. I've had touches of it. But I've never seen a pandemic of it in my generation. I've seen little epidemics of it. I've seen little outbreaks. I've seen churches have a little revival. Or maybe I've seen movements. Victory Outreach International has been a movement of revival for the last 53 years. There's been a movement in the inner cities of all different nations, but I haven't seen it go across every denomination, every cultural border at the same time. And I've been praying for it. You can be praying for all those things and waiting for all those things for years. You could be waiting for an opportunity for years. You could be waiting for a partner, hello, for years. You could be waiting for your breakthrough with your book or your business or your sports career, whatever it is. You could be waiting for your healing. You could be waiting for provision. You could be waiting for some need. And you could be waiting and waiting and waiting, but all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Suddenly it can come upon you. Suddenly, there it is. But for those people on that day of Pentecost, for those 50 long days between Jesus being taken and beaten and whipped and abused and nailed to a cross to bleed out his life, and then for him to be placed in that empty, cold, lonely tomb, only for him to rise from the dead 3 days later, never to die again. And then for 40 days, the Bible says, he was seen, he was touched, he was real. But then, poof, he ascended back to his Father. And then 10 days then, they were waiting. All those days, the friends of Jesus were in uncharted territory. There was probably fear, there was uncertainty, there was confusion. Jesus was there, he was dead, he was gone, he was back, he was with them, then he was gone again. Now they've got to wait for what they don't understand. All of their hopes for the future were up in the air, it was uncertain. Does any of that situation sound familiar? Can you empathize or sympathize, or can you feel that right now where you're at? Even a little bit? Be honest. How many of your New Year's resolutions included locking up in your home with all of your family driving you crazy, becoming the teacher to your children? Hello. Becoming someone that your dog doesn't even want you to take out for a walk anymore because their paws hurt. How many of your New Year's resolutions included fighting with your spouse, if you've got one, for the right to go to the supermarket? That was never in anyone's resolutions. Well, I want to go this 2020, I want to go to the supermarket more than my wife. No way. How many of you knew? How many of you saw this coming, that in 2020, your rubbish bin would go out more times than you would? None of us believed any of this or saw any of these things happening. Most of our hopes, many of our hopes have been messed around with this year. Your holiday plans have been messed around with. Come on, somebody. You know, the most I've been able to do this year is go to Puerto Backyardo. But thank God for the sun, hallelujah. You know, in England, you know, some, we have people watching from all over the world. In England, last year, it rained all this time. It was like so much rain, I was getting ready to build an ark. But how many of you know, this year, we have had the hottest, sunniest spring on record. I was on a Zoom with some pastors in my city the other day, and a doctor friend who's a practicing doctor, he said, you know, it's believed that a couple of the things that help with this COVID virus are vitamin D and fresh air, right? Vitamin D and fresh air. He said, and it's been so sunny that everyone's been able to get out in their gardens or go out and walk and all the rest of it. He said, and where do you get vitamin D from? You get it from the sun. He said, so even in the midst of this darkness, God has still been operating in a way that helps us. Powerful times, but who would have ever thought it, man? All your holiday plans, your work, your education goals, whatever it might be all up in the air. It might be all messed up. But one thing those originals had, and one thing that I believe we need to lock onto, is that they had a promise. They had a promise from Jesus. Something to look forward to. There was something up ahead of them that they had no idea and no experience of. Let me tell you something. I've been a Christian for 25 years. I've been a minister for 20 years. I've been a missionary in those years. I've been in the Far East. I've been in the Middle East. I've been in North America and South America and in Africa. I've been around Europe and in all these places. But nothing ever has prepared me for what is taking place right now. I don't know what the future looks like, but I know who holds the future. And I know that he is going to show us step by step what it is that we need to do to maximize the future. Can you help me out? Give me a Bluetooth bounce right now. Pound me back. Getting excited here. I'm sorry, I don't do talks. I'm a preacher. See, that's really what's facing us. It's that same attitude of if God doesn't really do something, then I don't really know what's going to happen. That's the attitude they had. And that's the attitude we need to have. And then on that original day of Pentecost, God, in his reality, changed things. And then those fearful and uncertain people suddenly became bold in their faith, and their example released the people around them to receive the truth about Jesus. Peter, that fearful man, the one that was more concerned with survival than he was about trusting in Jesus, that man that denied him and ran away, all of a sudden that man got up, Peter, preached a simple biblical message. A historical message, but filled with the power of God, 3,000 souls were added to eternal life. Amazing. It wasn't a degree that did it. It wasn't a clever method. It wasn't a metric. It was the power of God within him that was released and that touched people in a real way. Imagine that happening today. Imagine being filled with the presence of God to such a degree that your words and the example of your life cause others to come to know Jesus in a real and life-saving, eternal life-making way. Can you imagine that? Imagine the harvest of people turning to Jesus, because that is what Pentecost is all about. I've got two questions for us. What really happened that day? And I'm asking this because sometimes we can take this story for granted. We hear it, comes every year. We hear it, we read it, we take it for granted. What really happened that day? And the second question is, can it really happen today? And I want to ask that question because I'm not sure that many people have the right expectation of what God can and wants to do. So firstly, that day released a moment that caused everyone present to have the opportunity to represent God in a powerful and life-changing way. It wasn't about the priest and the laity, the pastor and the congregation. It wasn't about us and them. It wasn't about the experts, the specialists and everyone else. It was everyone present was filled in the same way, so that everything within them was able to be utilized for other people to hear and understand in their own languages. Everyone was able to be used. You know what I believe in this pandemic? I believe that you have to grab a hold of this, that every single one of you has a responsibility to be a person that carries the presence of God. It ain't just my job. I can facilitate. I have wisdom. I've been around the place a little bit. But I haven't got every answer. I don't know everything. I haven't got every gifting. I can't do this on my own. Every single one of us, when you're filled with the reality of God, you become a carrier of His presence. And you can become a super spreader of the life and the reality of Jesus Christ. Because the real power of God that can cross dimensions, it can cross cultural barriers, it can enable transformation. That real power of God calls those ordinary and uncertain people to be able to speak about God in ways that other people could fully understand. Check that out. The Bible says they spoke in other languages. Whatever you may feel about that, you got to understand there are many, many ways of communicating that we don't know, or sometimes we dismiss, or sometimes we take for granted. My great friend and an associate, Pastor Anthony Farrell, he speaks about the language of music, and he uses that language to impact people. And his music impacts people. You know, not even just here in Manchester, but right across the world. There's a language of music. There's a language in technology. There's a language. You can speak to different people in different ways, and they can't be dismissed, these different ways. This technological virtual way of speaking to people. You know, it's in all these different bits, right? Technologically, you know, with computers, there's electrons, there's all these different things flowing around. And it's communicating to people. And when God breathes on it, all of a sudden, it becomes impacting for eternal life. It was that reality of God that changed things. Because that is what people are hungering for right now. People don't want to know, you know, who's truth, what's truth, this fact, this bit of information. We are flooded with it. And the thing is this, who do you trust? Who do you trust right now? Journalists? You know, I'm sure that there are journalists with integrity, but journalism itself has got a blackened name, right? You know, the media outlets, politicians. Are you with me? There's always good individuals, but who do you trust now? Who can you trust? The police? The armed forces? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? That's the cry. Where do I get my information? Where do I get my reality? But I want to tell you right now, you can trust God because God is real. God in politics. I'm not talking about taking over. I'm talking about people with worldviews that put God before their agendas. That can make a difference. Imagine that. In the media, in the arts, in sport, in business, in education. For too long, God has been ripped out of those institutions. And I believe that He wants to get back in. So wherever it is that you're at, wherever it is that you work, whatever it is that your heart beats for, if you can be filled with the Spirit of God, then you can go in there and you can make a difference for good. The reality of God is what people want. We live in a day that so much is fake. Come on now. You don't even know if that nose is real. Hello, the person you're speaking to. Sometimes people are dressed up in designer clothes. You don't even know if they're real. Is that handbag real? Are those shoes real? Wait, you know, the badge is on upside down. What's going on? There is so much fake. And without getting paranoid about it, be very careful about what you take to be true. Test it. Test it. Even test what I say. Test these messages. Test them to see if they match up with God's truth and God's word, because that's the only truth that is going to matter for eternity. And the truth of the Bible is that Jesus' life and death and resurrection accomplished something important and necessary that couldn't be accomplished in any other way in our lives. In one moment, He changed the game. In a moment, Jesus can turn your life around. And the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is not just good news to bad people. The truth of it is that it is the power to make dead people come alive. On that day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, 50 days after Jesus paid the price that we could never ever pay, in a moment, in that experience, the course of history changed forever. I've experienced the moment of salvation. I experienced that moment when my dead future was forever changed into a living future. My old ways were consigned to the past, to history, to the rubbish bin, to the sea of forgetfulness. And I was released. I was set free. I've experienced that. Have you? Have you experienced that beautiful moment when the truth becomes real, when God's power becomes real, when Jesus' forgiveness becomes real? Have you experienced it? Because you can experience it today. You can experience it in your own home. I was in a car park outside a gym when I was born again. You can be sitting in your living room. You can be sitting in your garden or your bedroom. You can even be in your car and you can experience the same moment that can change your life. And the thing is this, after that moment, it gets better. That's just the beginning. And there's times when the Spirit of God will come and He will refuel you. He will refill you. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It birthed something. That was a beginning of something. God interrupts your reality by showing you His reality. And it's literally like, before that, you've been covered in filth. How many of you know there's been times in your life? I'm sure there's been times in your life, right? I like to consider myself quite clean and clean cut. You know, I like nice smells. Come on now. But how many of you know there's sometimes you just go about your business. You've had a workout and then you go for a coffee and then you go for lunch and you haven't had a shower. Or maybe, you know, you missed a shower yesterday and you're going to have one today and you miss it and maybe tomorrow. And it gets a point in time where you start minging. Come on now. You start smelling ripe. You're covered in dirt and filth. Come on, somebody. I know that this happens to men and women alike. And there comes a point in time when you just get used to it. And you kind of, you know, you don't even smell yourself no more. Hello? How many of you know you don't even realize your sin? You don't even realize your lostness. You don't even realize how weak you've become. You don't even realize how powerless. You don't even realize how worldly you've become at some stages in your life. And then God comes and in His reality, He pours Himself into you. And it's like you've taken a bath or a shower or a wash. And the cleanness that you feel inside and out, it just makes everything else just seem rotten. That's what God wants to do. That's what He wants to do in your life. That's what He wants to be in your life. He wants to be so real to you. He wants to make his life so real to you that everything else seems fake. That is the power. And He interrupts us at times and He does it. And when it's happened to me, when that happens to me, all of a sudden, I get it. I get it. I get Him because I can see the real truth. And because I can see the real truth, I can express the real truth. And other people then can catch that from me. God wants to do it with you. And then not only that, but He gives you the ability to speak to different people in their heart languages. I'm not just talking about ethnic languages or cultural languages. I'm talking about the language that they live in. The language that they breathe. Some people are intellectual. Some people are more emotional. Some people love they're creational. Some people love different ways of interacting. And God all of a sudden starts putting those different people, you in your individual way, going out and you start meeting all these different people and you start sharing what it is that you've received and they get it. Then all of a sudden, what starts as a little epidemic, a little localized thing, it goes to one person, That goes to another person. You hear all the time about the R number, the number of reproduction, that if it goes above one, come on now, if it goes above one, then all of a sudden this pandemic, this COVID thing, if it goes above one, then it becomes exponential in its multiplication. How many of you know that if you witness to two people, you've gone beyond the spiritual R number? If your life reaches out to more than one person, all of a sudden we start to see multiplication take place. That's all it takes, man. It takes you to reach one person who reaches another person, and then those people start reaching people. And before you know it, everything's multiplying. Oh, I don't know if you're helping me out or catching what I'm saying right now. But that's how the church was formed. That's how it endured. That's how it grew. So the second question is, can that happen in the times that we live in? Surely that was just a one-off thing, man. Pentecost, day of Pentecost, one-off thing. Church was born, you know, prophecy was fulfilled. I tell you, I think it has to happen. Not in the same way or in the same place. But God wants to do something powerful and fill people in a way that is going to spread out across the world. See, these moments of revival are God sent. And they happen at the time of his choosing. You can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture this stuff. There is no methodology. There is no metric. There is no church growth manual. There is nothing in play that can force God to move on our behalf. None of that stuff. You might start a little epidemic. But for there to be a Pentecostal or a Pentecost pandemic of a move of God's spirit, it's got to be God that does it. One thing I know, though, is that God responds to the prayers of his people. And when we're praying together like they did, in harmony, individually, in different languages and from different cultural experiences, and when we are crying out with a deep spiritual hunger and a deep spiritual need, then it might be that the balance is tipped and all of a sudden the pouring of God's Spirit comes upon the earth once again. I believe that something different, something good has to happen on this earth. I think in our generation we've seen some momentary little things, but we got to pray bigger. We got to pray bigger. We got to believe God for bigger. We got to pray, man, that God would reach the world. That in this time of pandemic, if a little crowned cell, whatever it is, a virus with spikes, can cause all of this around the world, what about the power of the Spirit of Almighty God filling his people? Can't that go out across every nation and every boundary? I believe it's going to start with a pandemic of prayer. And then as the reality of God breaks through the apathy of his people, the ignorance of a self-centered world, those holy fires once again are going to be stirred up in people's hearts, and they're going to burn and they're going to flame up and they're going to power up what God wants to do. God will become real to people, and he will be real in us so that we will be real to people. And then real needs will be really met. I'm fed up with the church scratching people where they don't itch. I want the church to scratch people where they're itching and they can't reach. I want us to meet some real needs. There is going to be a pandemic of terrible consequences after the lockdown fully eases and this thing is over. Mental pandemic, mental health pandemic. There is going to be a pandemic of economic, you know, need. There is going to be a pandemic of racial tension. There is going to be pandemics of all these things that are taking place. And they need a pandemic of the power of God to come in and do what is looking impossible for people to do. And I believe it's possible because the day of Pentecost wasn't the only outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the days of the book of Acts. In the days of the early church, that was the first one. It was one of four in Acts. The one we were looking at right now was the one to the Jews. Jesus always went to the Jews first, and they were his people. They were the called people of God, the chosen people of God. And on the day of Pentecost, they were there in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. But then after that was in Acts chapter 2. But in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit came upon the Samaritans. This was a cross-cultural thing taking place. Philip, one of the original deacons, he went and preached, and demons were cast out of people, and people were healed, and people came to know Jesus. Because how many of you know there is a demonic agenda in the world today? There are things that are just plain evil, man. And that is something that needs to shift. Next came the one to the Roman Gentiles. The language of empire was addressed. And all of a sudden, in Acts chapter 10, an army officer by the name of Cornelius, who loved God and was someone who knew about God, was filled with the Holy Spirit and all of his household. And another culture and another realm of opportunity was opened up. It opened up a new gateway for the church to expand, just like churches are seeing right now in our online services. And then the last one was in Acts chapter 19, when the Apostle Paul went to the Greek world and the Greeks came into the same experience. And all of a sudden, the language of culture was starting to be spoken into. God's Spirit filled all of these different places. Four different cultures were introduced to the reality of the power of God, and they became his partners. And they began to turn the world upside down. So what about the cultures of today? What about the media? What about politics? What about business? What about sport? What about the everyday person in the street? What about education? What about the arts? Come on, somebody. What about all of these different areas? Don't they need an outpouring of God? Don't they need to know the reality of God as well? Why not believe God to move powerfully in Manchester? Why not in our city? Why not can this be not one day called the Manchester Revival, the Manchester Outpouring? Why not? What about England? What about Scotland? What about Ireland? What about Wales? What about in our Asian communities? Do they not need the power of God? What about in our black communities? They need the power of God. Don't all of these people have deep spiritual needs? What about white people? Man, white people need the power of God. I'm praying. And I'm asking for a move of God again today. A wave of his Holy Spirit to come and change things. Will you pray? Will you join me in prayer? Don't you need that too? Don't you want that too? Are you not asking for that too? Imagine it. That all of a sudden you get a flame and you are filled and you begin to just shine and glow and speak in a way that your friends and your family and your neighbors and your loved ones understand. That you're not just talking Christianese or religious babble, but you're talking to the heart of issues with the life of God. Then all of a sudden, there's going to be a pandemic of this Pentecost experience. And the Pentecost experience was this: God becoming real and real people meeting real needs in a real way. I want us to pray. Let's start this pandemic of prayer. We've been praying all through this pandemic. But let's pray that there's going to be a pandemic of Pentecost that's going to sweep over the world and save souls everywhere. Let's pray that your family gets saved and your friends get saved and your neighbors get saved and even your enemies get saved. Because a saved enemy is a friend now. And they're an enemy no longer. Because in unprecedented times, we know that God can do it again. I want everyone right now, just take a moment. Just take a moment, quiet your spirit, quiet your soul. Oh Holy Spirit, move again. Move again, oh God. Make us passionate for the things that move your heart. Come upon us and fill your people, oh God. Fill your churches, spread out and scattered in homes and places outside of the four walls of a church. Light the flame, oh God, because it's going to spread quick. Every individual, I'm speaking to those of you right now that are watching that you've never thought that you had a part to play. Well, what part can I play? I don't sing, I can't preach, I don't get the opportunity. I'm not a leader. But you're a carrier of the pandemic of Pentecost. You can be a carrier of life and of truth. You can be a carrier of the Holy Spirit of God. That wherever you go, He's going. Holy Spirit, fill every house right now in the name of Jesus. Fill every home right now in the name of Jesus. Fill every heart right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God. God, would you come? Would you fill us? Come on, help me pray right now where you're at. You can hear me, I can't hear you, but I feel you, I feel you, I feel you. We're together in this. I know it. I know it. I know that God's people are rising up. I know that there's going to be a filling. There's going to be an empowering. There's going to be an overflowing. Not just an outpouring, but an overflowing. Oh God, send your fire. Let us not be afraid of this. Let us not just look with our cool, chilled out little ways at how, well, he's screaming and sweating. That ain't my thing. Do whatever it is your thing is, but do something for Jesus Christ. And the only way you can is if you're filled with the power of Jesus Christ by His Spirit. So lift up your hands and begin to cry out. Lift up your hands and say, God, be real to me. Lift up your hands and your voice and cry out and say, come Holy Spirit, come and use me. I'm here waiting. I'm waiting for you with my hands lifted. I'm waiting here for you with my hands lifted, with my heart lifted, with my hopes raised. I'm waiting here for you, oh God. Come, come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Spirit. And give us the language to speak to our cultures. Give us the language to speak to our neighbors. Give us the language to speak to those that mock, that those that look down on the things of God, that those, even though have had a bad experience with churches, oh God, give us the language of reconciliation. Give us the language, oh God, of understanding. Give us the language of compassion, oh God. Give us the language of understanding. Power of God is so powerful and strong in this place, and I know that He is the same everywhere. So right now, receive Him and begin to press into Him and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Now's the day. Today's the day. Give your life and heart to Jesus Christ. Respond. Someone will pray with you. Let Jesus become your Lord and your Savior and your best friend. He wants to take away all your past. He wants to forgive you of it. He wants to clean you of it. And He wants to give you a new present and a new future. And He wants to do it today. And the rest of you begin to just praise God and worship. Let the fire spread out from your home. Let God's truth spread out from your home. Let the power spread out from your home. Be ready, be ready, be ready, because suddenly God's going to come in your life. Suddenly He's going to open a door for you. Suddenly you're going to get an opportunity to speak to someone. Suddenly someone's going to ask you a question and you're going to have the answer. Suddenly. Oh God. Come. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, raise your standard again. Jesus, be real. The powerful God, Almighty God, the Savior God, be real. You've been a curse word on some people's lips, but now, God, I pray that you will be the name that is of salvation on those same lips. Jesus, we love you and we bless you. Come on, just begin to pray. We're going to worship. If you need to respond, just respond right now. Someone wants to pray for you. But we love you. It's Pentecost. Pray that it spreads. In Jesus' name.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.